This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
The intent for today is divine protection. And if we think of it in a certain way, then it's really one of the weirder things religion has going for it. We know that if you're in a collapsing building and you have the option of praying that you'll be okay or getting out of the building, the wiser course of action is to get out of the building. And in the view of the world in which there is God as this divine puppet master of all things, then there is an attitude where we request protection from the things that perhaps even from God himself. But the sense where there is an ability to be protected from God by God in a way. These things being arranged in the world might come and get us, or they might not if we ask nice. And in that viewpoint, there's this deep ancient psychological understanding of the divine as being the ultimate protection racket. If you do the right sacrifices, if you ask nicely, if you treat God or the gods or the powers that be in the same way as you might treat some local bully or local ruler, same thing but with legal status, most history, then you might be okay. They themselves might not come and make sure that nothing harmful happens to you. They might themselves not harm you, as the way protection rackets work, you're being protected from the person you're paying off. And if this is something with a legal status, a feudal lord or something, they might actually not only protect you from other feudal lords, but they may protect you from outlaws and various things as well. Not always. That's kind of the ideal that you hope for if you're in that position and you understand the world in that way. That these powers greater than yourself that you have to pay off, bribe, be nice to, might not stomp on you. Or if somebody else is going to stomp on you, they might stop it. Well, Gnostics, we try to have a more sophisticated view. Of course, I'm painting this a bit more cartoonish than really manifests in most people's psyche, but that pattern tends to be there. We see it through many incarnations of religion and civilization throughout many areas and aspects of human existence. So as Gnostics, with this different understanding, how are we to approach the notion of divine protection? Well, if you don't have a divine that got puppet strings to every molecule or something, then we're not really asking never to be harmed. I mean, our more orthodox brothers and sisters can ask that themselves, but they're not going to get it anyway. We don't really see that as being all that sane of a thing to ask for, can hope for. But it's not within the power of God as we understand it to grant that the world be somehow different than the world is. That special bubble of reality surround us, and we never be touched by the darkness that is a part of the world as much as the light. So when we approach a notion like divine protection, looking for something a bit deeper. In the Gnostic understanding, the world isn't some paradisical wonderland where everything is completely nice and everyone will play nice. It has never been. It will never be. The lion lays down with the lamb in order to have himself a bit of a lunch. It's not going to be different in the normal course of the world. But if we look at who we are differently than what we may be materially, it's flesh and blood, and we can see that there is a lot there to protect is much more important. It's nice not to have problems with the flesh and the blood. Let's admit it. Hopefully we'll have good health, we'll not get beaten up by strangers and so forth. But the main treasure is not there. What we do not want to lose is not the end of a finger. It's who we are. We do not want to have our souls be enslaved. We do not want to live out our lives in bondage. We do not want to lose ourselves by saving our bodies. See this clearly at some points in history. One of the ones that comes to mind is Monsegur, a time when not only was it possibly possible that some of the catechumen, the followers of the perfecti of the Cathars, might have gotten off without getting burned, might have been able to confess under torture and be lifelong penitents or something. But moreover, a lot of the mercenaries, people who were just there to do their jobs, to fight for money, they had a deal. They could have walked away. Some of them took the consolamentum. Them became Cathar perfecti and marched with the Cathars to be burned. The powers of the world are the powers of the world. Ancient Gnostics spoke of archons, these powers in the cosmos, these powers of the system, the world, and that we do not want to be their slaves, their servants, their thralls. We do not want to be held in ignorance by them, be kept from realizing who we are, to be bound in those chains of ignorance and suffering. And the power that the powers of the world have is often over our outward existence, over our way we interact with the world. Today it's not so grim as it was back in Languedoc in the 12th century. But we are in our own controlled system of the world. We feel that we have freedom, but freedom is kind of tricky and dangerous and scary, and so mostly what we have is the illusion of freedom. It comes down to having choices on a more consumer level. You can choose to buy this thing or that thing, and that's freedom, isn't it? You can't choose not to work at whatever job you're doing, not to work more than any medieval serf ever had to work. You can't have that kind of a choice or freedom, but you can choose whether you buy, you know, brand A soda pop or brand B or eat at this fast food restaurant rather than that fast food restaurant or whatever. All kinds of choices don't we have, as long as they are trivial. We have plenty of them. And as we go about our lives in the world, we are continually moving about within the limits of the world system that powers of the world have set out. This is not nutty conspiracy theory, it's just the way things work in the world. Powers, the archons, you can think of them as mythic beings, you can think of them as forces in the world. They actually work for all of these things. The Gnostics weren't limited in their imaginations, and we shouldn't be either. But as we move about in the world, we see so many ways in which we can lose ourselves, so many ways in which we can serve that which is not true to who we truly are, many ways we can get lost on our way. And these ways may seem easier at the time, they may seem more expedient, in that we don't lose the things that we want to have, but they may be detrimental in that we are changed ourselves. That our beingness, our antus, our true nature becomes more obscured rather than more revealed. Instead of becoming more transparent in ourselves to the divine light shining forth from us, we become more blocked, more clouded, and we take on more of the properties external to us than those that are truly internal to us. In this way, divine protection is not only relevant, necessary. We need to be able to see that dimension of the world and of our lives, and touch and ask for and receive that divine relationship that will help protect us from falling into ignorance, into deeper slavery, into more darkness. It will instead lead us to the light, lead us to realization of who we are, self-gnosis. It will lead us to liberation. Circumstances of the world, they change rather slowly, but we ourselves can attain what liberation we can within ourselves. And then there may be times when to be free within ourselves is to suffer more at the hands of the world, just as happened in Languedoc. But fortunately, the world's a bit nicer place, at least for us here now, and hopefully it will remain so. The way that we can kind of work on that is to be transformed ourselves, to not fall asleep, to not fall into service of powers that cause us to remain ignorant or to be manipulated in various ways, to instead touch the divine and have that relationship be primary. The lesson for today is really one of my favorites. I come across it every year. It's from the Chaldean oracles. It has a lovely summary of where we are and what we should do. You know, the soul of man with nothing in it subject to death should hold closely unto God. Should hold that. That is our way of protecting ourselves from losing ourselves. It's to hold on to the divine. To open up the soul stream, it says. To have this living relationship with the divine, with the transcendent. And that keeps us from slipping back. You know, not the things that might harm our bodies, but the things that would harm our souls, our psyches, our inner selves, who we truly are. And talks about gathering the fire of God, gathering that together, keeping that. If we hold on to these things, if we keep that transcendent connection and relationship alive in ourselves, we have a divine orientation, a divine perspective that will alert us to this other level of danger which we might be concerned of and invoke divine protection. Just the physical, not just, say, the emotional or even psychological, but the structure, the greater structure of our lives, that which is the growth of soul and spirit, the growth of who we are into the world. There is a part of us that will not be harmed, whatever we do. That divine spark, that seed of light, that which is our true nature, can't be stifled out by any power of the world. But it can be kept just as a seed, just as a spark, hidden behind a cloak of ignorance, of forgetfulness, hidden far away, deep inside, never active, never growing, never really involved in an individual's life. And that is a deep tragedy. There are many tragedies of the world. You see someone truly almost soul dead. That is not only horrifying, but it is very deeply saddening. For that potential not only to be an individual human, but to carry out that image and likeness of God, use more orthodox language, into the world, has been sabotaged, cut off before it even begins. It is that is the true danger we can face in our lives and in the world, along with, say, the trivial dangers of getting beat up by strangers or whatever else that we want to avoid as well. The gospel for today has sometimes been referred to as a little catechesis in the Gospel of Thomas. Catechism is learning through questions and answers. This one has a little bit different form in that it has the thing of as when they ask you, say this. If they say, ask you that, say this. If we think of it in this way of relating to the world, it is advice on how to relate to the world. It is profound, deep, and ancient, rooted in, as we can tell, the actual life and ministry of Christ. When they ask you, who are you? Say, you are sons of the living Father. Have that understanding of yourself in relationship to the divine. We are sons of the light that came into being from its own self. You know, we are not born, at least the part of us that we are speaking of here, isn't born here in the world, isn't really the child of our parents, isn't manufactured here, doesn't have its origin here, has its origin from the divine. And the divine that we're speaking of has no other origin. Takes it out of the realm of the mythological generativeness, descent, gods having children that are gods, and so forth. Takes it out of that understanding. What we're talking about is the absolute, the divine ultimate. And we are once removed from that. We are the sons of that here in the world. And if they ask you, what is the sign of your father in you? say that it is a movement and a rest. This may appear paradoxical, but it is the kind of paradox that bids you to look beyond the simple meaning of these things. There is a rest. There is a deep peace, a transcendent silence that is a part of us. There is also this endless movement, this aliveness of the divine through us, through our lives, through the whole cycle of the cosmos. There is a movement and a rest. There is the still point, the center of the two arms of the cross. Both are true. We are that paradox here in the world, because we are more than we may think we are at times. We are more than most people of the world think ourselves to be. And we walk through the cosmos, related beyond the cosmos. We are sons and daughters of our parents here, but the more important thing to guide us. So we are sons and daughters of that transcendent thing. We are the children of that. We have our origin in that. And that will allow us to walk the earth, if we bear that in mind, with an attitude that will keep us safe from losing who we are, will keep us from substituting our deepest values for the values that are presented for us, will keep us from buying a system of meaning instead of having a lived meaning. And it is in that way we can walk with assurance, can walk with God in the protection of the divine, and in a way that will also protect us from other things in the world. If we have that confidence, if we have that consciousness, if we have our transcendent connection, we look a lot less like prey for the many powers of the world. And so even though that isn't, shall we say, the primary goal, primary purpose, it has that result as well, indirectly. The main thing, to have that relationship, to be safe in who we are as we go about the world, to serve that ultimate divinity that we are a part of, we are from, that we will return to, rather than any of the powers of the world that would stifle that light, turn us into something else. So may we walk with God in the shelter of divine protection. May the mystery of that which hangs twixt heaven and earth send upon us the remain of this world. Information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.ORG. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.